Welcome back to the Roanoke Weekly Podcast. Today's February 20th, and this is Brad. I'm here with Ariel and Xavier again. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Somehow we all were able to make it into the studio, though. So right. For all those who had to work on their snow day, you know, we feel you.
You're not alone.
Glad to know that Xavier views this as really hard work.
Yes.
I feel like there's a relaxed feel, though, on a snow day, that even though...
Oh, for sure.
In the office. It's not as, yeah.
Anyway. I've discovered what I enjoy about snow days recently, so I'm going to share with you guys and the thousands of listeners we have on this podcast. I don't really like this, like physically being in the snow. I don't like doing snow activities. I don't like being wet or cold. But I love that snow days change things. Like, it's not just a normal day anymore. It's different. There's like an element of chaos and uncertainty. And I mean, this is definitely a privileged perspective because I work from home and I don't like, you know, I can kind of do whatever, but I love that it's just a little bit different and people act a little bit differently. As an adult, sometimes I can get a little bored with life and I'm like, oh, this is fun and different. So that's what I love about nowadays. Just FYI. Anyway, should we jump into the news?
Yeah, let's jump in and we're going to talk about Xavier's favorite thing right off the bat here, which is Mass General Store coming to downtown Roanoke.
Yeah, I'll definitely be there.
Well, it's such an interesting story because something just changed.
Something just changed.
Yeah.
In your headphones?
Yeah, like a background noise that was happening, like the fuzz went away completely. My headphones are still fine.
Okay.
I'm just concerned that something has changed and I don't want it to like not be recording.
No, you're still recording.
Okay. Well, technical difficulties. We're back.
Let's start over again and
with
say,
the whole thing.
Well, just no. So there was a really interesting story in the Roanoke Times this past week that talked about all of the big changes kind of happening, kind of based around the Hieronymus building and the neighborhood around that. But some big things happening that are going to be changing the face of downtown, not least of which Mass General Store, which Xavier will be attending to frequently for candy, I think.
What kind of candy do they have?
All the old-fashioned
kinds. It can't be that big of a store with candy.
Well, it's more than candy.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's outdoors gear.
Boots and fishing rods.
Yeah, but one of the main attractions, just like the other candy store downtown, is that you can go through these barrels of candy, and it's a lot of old-fashioned candy, so nostalgia central, really.
Like Chico sticks and like...
Yeah.
Candy just, cigarettes.
Yeah, well, I think those are kind of like out on the out, but like cowtails and taffies and...
Oh, I love cowtails.
I mean, teach their own. No. Anyway, no problem.
Give me some bullseyes every day.
So, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. But, I liked about this article is that it gave, or this piece was that it gave a big overview of not just the new businesses coming to downtown, but all of just the purchases that have happened of buildings that we've all come to know as just vacant buildings downtown. So I was interested to read in this piece not only, you know, the ones that we kind of know about, but also like the Fallon Florist building is under contract. And that building is so cool. It's on Church across the street from where Breadcraft is. And it is the old florist building, of course. And I got to go in and look at it one day. And it is the most interesting building inside. And I can't wait to see what they do with it. So that's, you know, it's a great, well, of course, link to it in the newsletter. And you can get a read on it yourself. But a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, I'll say that I was just on Facebook this morning and noticed that apparently there's a new bed and breakfast on Day Avenue, which is just real close to where my wife and I live. And I cannot believe that there's a bed and breakfast on Day Avenue. That would not have been the case even 5 years ago when we first moved to Roanoke. You
know. Yeah.
But anyway, downtown, it's a change. And if I could sing Times They Are a Change, and I would, but I'm not going to. So you're welcome. There's some relatively negative stuff we're going to get into in a minute, but we'll say just as a quick update on a story that we've shared in the past, it does appear that there's actually some new momentum back around the 81 issue again. There's still some, still is unclear what's going to happen with that, but people are trying to fix that again. Kind of the quote that stood out to me on this is that if we listen to the trucking industry, then nothing is going to be done. So I hope that our lawmakers are not paying too much attention to the trucking industry on this. So,
well, yeah, I think the momentum around it is that the idea of a toll for all motor vehicle travelers is unpopular, and instead they're looking at some things to place the financial burden on the trucking industry. So, of course, the trucking industry is probably not in super favor of that, but yeah, there at least it's being talked about again, because 81, as everybody knows, is a big problem.
It's a big problem because 95 is an even bigger problem. So maybe we should fix 95 too while we're at it. If we just invest in infrastructure.
We should put the trucks on the trains. Trucks on trains.
I would love to see that.
If you didn't listen a few weeks ago, that was an actual idea that they were talking about that I think got scrapped pretty quickly because it's really expensive and a whole new thing, but sounds, you know, cool. Sci-fi.
I don't feel like we as a country have the capacity to think big about things anymore. I mean, like, I don't think we could do the interstate network again now if we wanted to. We can't even figure out how to pay for, like, adding a lane between here and Stanton. That's kind of ridiculous. Anyway.
Hot takes from Brad.
The hottest of hot takes.
All right. Now we're getting into some sort of heavy stuff, FYI. But this is definitely an update on something we talked about over the last couple weeks, which is that there are some things that are being implemented to make sure that we're a school system in specific, that we could be trauma-informed. And this story is all about the real-life learning that the schools are doing about active shooter drills.
Yeah, so they held an active shooter drill at William Fleming.
If you not with the students there.
Not with the students there. But if you read the article, there's this traumatic picture of a woman looking like that's acting as though she's lost her child or that her child's in the school. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's heartbreaking, even though you know it's fake in some ways. And it's just hard to imagine this stuff.
Yeah, well, the quote that stood out to me is that Police Chief Perkins, that plans are great on paper, but the real world is going to throw things that paper is not going to cover. And in that, he was referencing things like language barriers between children and first responders, and children who need to be protected from abusive guardians who they have some sort of court order against, you know, things that you don't really expect and don't factor into the trauma and the craziness of something like an active shooter, but that people need to be prepared and trained to be able to handle. So even though this is like so sad and so unfortunate that we have to do this, it's like, oh, I didn't even think of those little details to protect children in these times. Even the ones that are like totally safe in the moment, they might not be safe from opportunistic predators.
Yeah. We did a training at Monterey with Ms. Struther. And she went over the mistakes that were made with the Florida shooting in the Florida high school. And we went like minute by minute. And you can actually find the website, and it talks about minute by minute what teachers did wrong, like how they messed up. And it was pretty intense. So it sucks that, like you said, we have to do these drills, but it's definitely imperative to know like that this could happen at any time.
Yeah.
And know the right procedures, who to call, like what exactly to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much involved. I remember when they had the horrible shooting in the Colorado theater during the Batman, that one of the big issues with that was that there weren't enough ambulances, because the numbers suggested that on whatever, a Tuesday evening, you only needed X amount of ambulances available, and so all of a sudden you need twice as many. And so those are the kind of things that you have to figure out in this case. Like, who else are you going to call in? Who are the backups? Who's all that kind of stuff? And so as much as I don't wish we didn't have to spend money on it, I'm glad that people are thinking about it and preparing for these.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure the people involved learn things that are also valid to learn that are not just for active shooters. It's like you learn more about just being a trauma-informed school in general. So hopefully it's not all for that one reason.
That's true. I mean, I'm a big believer in fake it till you make it. And so if you tell people enough that they need to watch out about the wrong parents picking up the kids, every time you tell them about that, there's a slight increase in the chance that they're going to actually pay attention.
It's good info regardless.
Yeah.
We're just going to knock out all the sad stuff at once, so hang in there. But this one hits really close to home because it happened right outside of my store in downtown Roanoke. A woman was, a pedestrian was hit by a car in a hit and run, and she ended up passing away afterward. And they're still seeking tips on the vehicle that killed the woman. And the story, you know, I read it this morning. It's very, very sad. She was very well loved. Of course, it's sad when anybody, when this happens to anyone, but her community is grieving, and we definitely want to find the person that did this. They've got some information on what they think the vehicle was in the article, which I'll put in the newsletter, and ways to get in touch with the police if you think you know something. So if you know something, definitely reach out.
I was going to say, aren't there cameras all around there?
I think so. They've called me to see if we have store cameras facing out to the intersection, and we don't, but there is an internal camera. So I'm trying to figure out how we can get them that footage, which I hope will help, but I don't think it's in the right position to do that. But yeah, I'm going to, when I talk to them on the phone, I'm going to make sure they've checked with Garland and, you know, well, I mean, they know what they're doing. I don't need to check with them about those things, yeah. But you know, maybe even someone who lives in the residences upstairs might've had some sort of knowledge of it. But
yeah, I think it's tough. If they had been on Campbell, then I think there's a bunch of cameras, but because they're coming up Fifth, as I understand it, there's a lot fewer cameras looking at on Fifth than there are on Campbell.
Right.
But just tragic. And again, goes to show that we all need to be paying attention to what's going on around us. And please don't ever run away from an accident. It's the worst thing you can do if you don't compound your one mistake with another mistake. You know, you're going to live with that for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Oof. Well, okay. Last one. Wasn't someone else kick this one off?
police chief, the new police chief, was reporting before city council yesterday or Monday, and shared some of the crime numbers. And perhaps the most notable among them was that there was a significant increase in the number of rapes reported in the city of Roanoke, an increase of a pretty massive percentage.
Yeah, it went from like 23 to 38 or something. So those numbers may not be exact. Brad's looking them up.
I'm looking it up.
Right, but a large increase, whereas a lot of the other crime that had been reported had gone down, this one number stood out. And Councilwoman Whiteboyd, you know, raised her hand and said, that's alarming to me. And then they got into a conversation about it, which was talked about in this article.
So 32 up from 23 in 2017. So a 39% increase, which was the highest among Part One crimes, which were the most serious offenses. It's such a complex thing, and you know, I have to give credit because it doesn't sound like it was necessarily pulled out of the report for special attention, except by the members of City Council who heard that and said, "Hey, we need to pay attention to this particular number." So, just really, in the article, they go through some of the complexities in terms of we don't know what's happened in these cases. We don't know how many of these have actually gone to trial, and the complexities of that. And I will say that I was a little disappointed, I really think that our police department does a fairly good job most of the time, but I was a little disappointed in Chief Jones for seeming to put the onus on women to avoid this situation, which is just such a perpetuation of...
That's a very antiquated way to talk about such a complicated issue, and it blames the victim. And I'm just so thankful for the women in our city council who immediately stood up against that notion. So as a woman and just a citizen of Roanoke, I am just very, very thankful that they made sure to call that out and explain the complexities. And also, you know, if there is any sort of positive element to this, I'm just happy that more people are reporting these things that probably went vastly unreported in previous years. So, you know, speak up, speak out. I hope there's just not more in general. If it's more reporting, that's good news.
Yeah, agreed. Also worth noting, I think, in this article is just that homicides went down from 16 in 2017 to 11 in 2018. Motor vehicle thefts, however, went up significantly from 290 to 371.
Wow, that's a lot.
Which is, I think they would suggest that that goes back to the opioid thing, that a lot of folks are breaking into cars to pay for their opioid habits. But robberies went up as well from 80 to 105, while burglaries and larcenies fell. So, interesting.
The difference between a robbery and a burglary?
A burglary, I think, would be when you break into someone's house when they're not around. But I'm not 100% sure.
And then a robbery is like
I think a robbery can be person to person.
Robbery can be person.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And a burglary is like from an institution of some sort?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll have to just look into that.
But okay. It's a very troubling, to go back to the rape thing. You know, I don't know that any of us, including city council and the police, have any good answers on that, but it is something that I think the more we talk about, hopefully the more we can try to figure out new answers to get to end that, what we hope is not an epidemic in that space. So,
well, an easy answer, sorry to oversimplify, an easy answer is stop raping people and learn more about consent, everyone.
Yeah.
So that's what, I know it's not that simple, but there's your easy answer if you're going to pick one. Let's move on. Deep sigh of relief.
Real quick, I want to give a shout out to Sarah and say that if you have questions about this, Sarah is a great resource.
An organization called Sarah, S-A-R-A, not a human, yes, Sarah, who we just are vaguely talking about. Yeah, S-A-R-A, Roanoke. It's a great resource.
So if you have faced sexual abuse or if you have questions about it, they would be happy to help you in either case. So, and hopefully that takes us past our depressing stories for this week.
Yes.
And now we can move into an arts space where I'm very intrigued to hear your thoughts on this, Ariel. But the endowment, which Roanoke has worked on for quite a while now, has... starting to develop some new visioning stuff for the city in a more comprehensive way and what the arts will look like moving forward for the city of Roanoke. And I'm intrigued to know what that looks like and what you guys think about that.
I do have some thoughts on this. You know, it was an interesting story to read. Of course, we'll link it in the newsletter. I keep saying that, but it's a new thing. We're now linking all the stories in the newsletter, so you can just find out all of the information. Yeah, insane. Thanks for reading the newsletter, Brad. Just kidding. So this is an interesting story. It gave some good background on what's happening with their fundraising toward this endowment. And there was an anonymous donor that said they wanted not just long-term impact, but some short-term things too. Like, let's get some balls rolling here. And so one of the things they've done is work out some collaborative meetings that people have been coming together who work in the larger arts organizations in town. I think something like 25 people or something like that, and have been working on some ways of communicating better and making some plans that are more collaborative in nature, but that also meet these individual organizations' goals of getting more people involved, finding more donors, selling more tickets, things like that. So as with any collaborative project at that level, of course, it is challenging. It's frustrating in a lot of ways. I mean, probably we've all been in that room before, but I think it's really important to add to this conversation with the arts organizations, because at the large organizational level, there's a lot of talk about our outdoors amenities and the brewery scene and the downtown development. And so, you know, sometimes the arts feel like the little guy in that conversation. It's really nice to have a large organization kind of adding to the conversation and building and supporting that network.
Yeah,
those are my feelings.
I have to say that I'm excited by the work they're doing. I don't love this emphasis, and so one of the things they're putting on right now is focusing on how to assess the economic value of the arts, and I'm just a little disappointed in that in some ways. I mean, Xavier, you've got a great event, an arts event coming up on Friday, and you know, there's money involved in it, but you know, the value to the city is hardly monetized in that money that's going to exchange hands at the door or anything like that. So,
right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm with the arts all the way. I hope that it begins to expand in more areas. But, you know, I guess it's got to start somewhere. So
yeah.
I try to find the positive out of it. But I'm looking at the different workshops. I mean, the different places on here. And I just, like you said, I just hope it expands to more and more and more.
Yeah, it's mostly the very large organizations,
yeah.
So it doesn't yet feel very diverse and citywide as much as probably it needs to really have the conversation about it. But yeah, it does feel like we need to be emphasizing the qualitative value rather than the quantitative value of the arts, because it's really tricky to drill into. But hey, you know, there's no sense in making us think about it when people are really trying to do some work. So
right.
I think we're all in.
And right. I mean, in the bottom line, this is more money for arts in the city, which right. is a good thing.
Right. Absolutely. And hopefully those bigger ones will be able to like collaborate with smaller ones and
absolutely
being right. shaped.
So. And that's what, I mean, anybody who's looking for any sort of grant funding in the art space knows that collaboration is, you know, very much needed mm-hmm. and asked for and prioritized. So I could start a whole podcast about this issue, but let's move along.
Well, speaking of big organizations, I was rather happy that it looks like the court is going to hold with the city and force Norfolk Southern to pay for their stormwater runoff, which is something that the city has been fighting for quite a while. And I guess I'm a sucker for these stories where the big guy in the form of Norfolk Southern, who in some ways has already left the area, and so we don't have to suck up to them too much, is actually having to pay for what their fair share of things are. Because if you're not familiar, the railroads get out of having to do a lot of things because of some very weird legislation around what exactly you can do with railroads. So, but they didn't win this time, it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like this fee being imposed is a response that happened a number of years ago to stormwater runoff issues. So different streets and parking lots and roofs and construction sites and things of that nature that the runoff pushes pollution into adjacent streams, which causes a lot of problems. So it's nice to see that we're, you know, at least penalizing people. It'd be nice if it didn't happen, but at least they're getting penalized for it, because that's a real problem.
Yeah, it all came out of a situation where the city had identified that the rivers and streams were polluted beyond the level that was acceptable for us, and so to try and cut down on this was part of the mitigation. So always happy to see that kind of environmental action taking place. But and now for your quick update on, to hopefully keep you from being surprised next time you go to get your car inspected, the fee will be $20 now moving forward after a bill has passed the General Assembly instead of just $16. So be aware of that next time you take your car in to get your inspection. Xavier is very happy about this news.
No. $20. $20.
End of
an
era.
$4 more. No, I'm not mad.
I feel like it was 12.
Yeah, it probably was. Ago.
Do you know that we're going to talk to like our friends' kids and our kids one day and be like, back when I was your age, car inspection fees were just...
That's if they're driving cars.
Oh, good point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mind boggler there.
I've been trying to get rid of one of my cars for a while. I just can't do it.
What kind of car is it?
Well, it's not the... I'm more just want to be a one car fan.
Oh, okay.
I admire people who do that, but I love having my own car.
I know.
I'm a car person.
I should practice what I preach, but I'm not very good at it.
This is exciting to me. I love our little Science Museum of Western Virginia over at Center in the Square, and they are revamping an existing planetarium that used to function out of there and reopening it at some point soon-ish. I don't know when they're opening it, but they're going to have NASA videos playing there, and you can take kids and yourself to watch NASA videos in a planetarium.
It sounds like it's going to be quite an immersive experience to go there, lights and sounds and all everything, you know. So a little bit more exciting than watching some stars turn around, it sounds like. So really exciting. I have immense respect for the Science Museum and the stuff that they've been able to do down there. So keep up the good work.
Yeah. If you've been to the Cube at Virginia Tech, which I have not, but apparently this will be using some of the same technology. Always like to hear that.
But yeah. So
up next,
we have what I find to be my favorite story from the week, which is that Roanoke College is now having an inside-out exchange program with a criminology class, in which 10 Roanoke College students and 9 inmates in the county prison, I believe, are taking classes together, which I just find so cool and so powerful for both sides, I hope, of that equation. A chance for, you know, folks in the college to experience and meet some folks that are a little bit different, because I find that, you know, in a liberal arts school, you can be a little isolated from what's going on in the world. And so to do that, but additionally to hopefully provide some additional benefits and some real value to these inmates that they can use when they get out or when whatever happens. So very exciting. I give kudos to Roanoke College for helping make that happen.
Whoever formed this program is genius. Like, that's genius. Seriously, because, I mean, I think about all of the inmates that sit in jail for 3-4 years, just waiting for a date, waiting for a court date, that are usually innocent, or, they, you know, it's like a small charge, to be able to, you know, get back into society and maybe see what's going on, see what things look like. Have the people sitting there for so long, they get out and they have no clue what to do. And then it gives the people at Roanoke College a different perspective and learn about people's stories that sometimes don't look like them, or, you know, just come from different backgrounds. So yeah. I love that connection. That's pretty dope.
Anytime you can break out of the liberal arts ivory tower and do some real world applicable stuff, I think is just so valuable for a college student. So just, that's great. And then also I have a friend who works at UNC Asheville in North Carolina, and they have a similar program. So it's nice to see that these are picking up in different cities around the country and, you know, just getting to a point where that's becoming rather normal in the community. I mean, 10 years ago, this would have not been normal. So it's very, very cool.
You know, it's interesting. The school I went to for undergrad, they had taught a poverty and homelessness class, and they would take you one night and drop you in the middle of downtown Louisville, and you were responsible for finding your way to accommodations for the evening and all of that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Which, you know, it's not the same in terms of you're not necessarily fully experiencing everything, but it is, you know, it was a kind of an interesting way to take you out of that ivory tower, which I always find to be so important. I will say, because I'm a nitpicker and love to point out the negatives in everything, I wish it wasn't a criminology course that they were teaching. Yeah. If they could teach, you know, something else, business classes or something else there, that would be...
Maybe this was the easiest pitch for the initial, and that they're going to change. Because I know the UNCA ones are all different types of class. I think somebody that I know was helping with an English-related class. So hopefully that's just part one of a long story.
It's almost like a science project.
Right, yeah. Right. That's a good, very good point.
But, very interesting to see how that progresses. And then kind of as our final news story of the week, some more good news. The VA nationally has gotten a ton of backlash over the past few years, but I think we could probably say without much disagreement that having a VA in Salem is a benefit to our region, especially to the veterans in our region. And it's really nice to see that they have gotten a 5-star rating from the Department of Veteran Affairs, which they're one of only 18 hospitals across the country to receive that recognition. And it's an upgrade from being a 4-star in 2017. And perhaps my favorite part of this news piece was that the person who's the leader over there has said that it's great, but there's still all kinds of things we can improve at, which is exactly the kind of attitude you want to have somebody have in that kind of space. So really kudos to them, and thank you for all you guys do and serving the folks that serve us.
Absolutely. Good news.
Yeah.
That was our warm and fuzzy note to end on. So moving on to spotlights. I have a really fun one for the arts spotlight. Thanks, Brad, for finding this one. Starting, I think today, actually, and on through the weekend, Hollins University is giving the folks in the Roanoke Valley their first chance to see a musical called Fun Home. And the title is short for Funeral Home. I haven't read, it's a graphic novel by Alison Bechdel, and I haven't read it yet, but I have heard for like over a decade about how amazing this graphic novel is. And I, this reminds me to read it. It then went on Broadway in 2015, and now it's coming to the Roanoke Valley. So check it out. It's apparently a very, just a beautiful story about a coming of age young person. So.
Well, and if you're on the fence, Bechdel is famous for her Bechdel tests, which you may have heard of.
Don't worry, I've heard of it.
In terms of, and if you haven't looked that up, you should. And this is a chance to become more familiar with her work. And if you're interested in the musical, it did win a Tony for Best Musical, Best Book, Best Score, and other things after its debut in 2015. So it really should be a good evening for those folks. That and always a good chance to go up to Hollins, which I think, you know, it can be hard to get the Hollins students out of their bubble, but if we go in, we can help break it down from the inside as well. So, but yeah.
If you don't know what the Bechdel test is, I feel like I just want to say really quick, it's a little test you can do with mostly movies and shows and stuff where you pass the Bechdel test if two female characters speak to each other and talk about something other than a man. And you'd be surprised how many movies coming out even today do not pass the Bechdel test.
Something like 75-80% of movies.
Yep. So next time you're watching a movie or a show, just keep an eye on that and see if two women speak to each other about anything other than a man. They pass immediately once they do that. So it's really, really cool to do that, and depressing, but fun also.
What does that signify? Like, what does that symbolize? Like,
just that they have independent roles in the movies and aren't just supportive of a male character's role.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Okay. Moving on.
Well, I'll share my business spotlight of the week. This is a rather personal one. You know, it's a snow day today. We are lucky enough and privileged enough for our daughter to go to Salem, Montessori. But one of my favorite things about that is that they hardly ever close. And so my daughter is in school today, which is amazing and gives us a ton of freedom to do other things like this with my day, which is amazing. So, you know, kudos to them for coming in, even though I'm sure it's not fun for the teachers to get in on a day like this. But thank you for taking care of my child.
So the food spotlight for this week, today, this morning, is Wakology. I'm sad that Bushi is closed down, but it's getting a nice little facial of a new restaurant. Wakology is .. Ariel I'll will jump start in. To speak.
Well, so I have just made an educated guess, but I'm pretty sure this is right. I mean, referencing the name Wok, it is sort of fast service, choose your own stir fry meals.
So like Chipotle style.
Yeah. But they
stir fry.
Add the ingredients to a wok and stir fry it and put it probably on rice or whatever kind of base you want. So similar to Bushi.
Okay. Just like Bushi. Same style.
Yep.
Just different
fruit. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's going to be fun. I hope they have some good vegetarian options, which they did at Bushi.
Yeah, they said they're going to be vegan friendly.
Oh, that's great news.
So. I hope they move Bushi somewhere else.
Yeah, they said that's in the eventual plan to get Bushi a permanent location.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. I really liked Bushi.
Me too. It was really healthy.
Yeah, and filling.
Yeah.
You get a lot of that fish in there, or tofu, or whatever you want to.
Yeah.
All right. Well, check the newsletter for upcoming events. Does anybody have an event they want to throw out there? We didn't talk about this before, but if you do, and otherwise, we can just put them in the newsletter with all the links as well. Any thoughts on events?
You guys sold out for Friday.
We have 14 $10 tickets left. We are just about sold out. So only thing after that, you can get tickets at the door, or you can get the day of tickets. Those are 15. We got a lot of good artists, a lot of good poets, a lot of good vendors. I think it's going to be really, really cool. Wear your black. It doesn't have to be formal or like black tie affair. We're just, you know, showing significance and showing tributes to Black History Month since it's almost over. This is our way of doing a Black History program, not your typical like church program or whatever. It's poetry, it's art, there's singing, there's music, there's jazz, there's fellowship, there's food, there's just an atmosphere of love. So that's what we're just trying to promote. And it's on 11th Street, so come through.
Is your mom making the food again?
She is.
Ooh.
She is.
Nice.
She is. I started her a business, so it's called Mama Donna's. So she is.
That's amazing.
Yep, she's got a logo and stuff now, and I'm hoping to help her get it kicked off.
Very good.
To get her cooking kicked off. So.
That's awesome.
Shout out to Mama Donna.
Absolutely. She'll get a food spotlight at some point, I'm sure.
Have y'all had her food?
I had her at the grand opening, you guys.
Yeah. She did cook for that. Yep.
All right. Well, eat well. Do cool stuff in Roanoke, everybody. And, you know, stay safe out there in the snow.
Yes. And please give us a rating and review wherever you're listening to this. And we'll be back to see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.